Good evening.
Good evening.
Hey, wow, that's a rumbling crowd responding to me there. Both people were excited, so that's great. It's a little different to preach to a camera, obviously. Well, I was going to, if you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we will resume where I last spoke a few weeks ago. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. As many of you know, my wife and I, we recently purchased a new house in Bolingbrook, and we're very excited about it. Now, we got a really good price. That's the good news. The bad news is there's a few things that needed some work. Now, many of the big things are very nice. You got a new roof and a new heating and air system, so a lot of these things that are big ticket items, so we're thankful. However, there's a lot of little items that needed some help. People that saw our house on Zillow, first thing they point out is the hot pink living room. Not the normal color you would pick if you're trying to decorate a living room, hot pink. I'm not sure it hasn't been in style since probably when it was painted last, the 1970s. And so we have taken on a number of these projects. And I don't want to brag too much here. I did replace a couple of things myself. Now, I'm not as handy. See, in my family, there's a couple other handymen. My dad, he did some commercial contracting for a while. He helped build churches. And then my brother, he's always been hands-on. He likes to work with his hands. And I was the third banana in this scenario. So anytime I started something, I wouldn't do well. So they'd say, let me see that, you know, and then they would do it right for me. So I don't think I did anything truly handy until I was in college, away from those other men. And that's the first time. I remember changing out my first door handle. I was so proud. It took me a while, though, but I got it. So anyway, we've been working on this house. There's 1,001 projects. Painting. I've replaced, I did some electrical stuff. My first time last night. So Chris Tibbs told me you got to turn the breaker off first. That was one of his insights that seemed pretty helpful. So I thought I'll do that. So we did. And so far it's been good. I've replaced spigots. It's not that hard. Shower heads. These are all basic things. Painting, not hard. Some of the heavier work, though, I've had to have some help. But I have a handy guide. See, it's one thing for someone to tell you how to do something. It's another thing when they can show you, right? Showing is one of the best ways of teaching. So I've had a helpful friend along the way, and my helpful friend is named YouTube. And I've Googled everything from insulation to leaks, different things like that. And there's a help. There's all kind. Now some videos are better than others, but there's this whole house. There's a guy, Mr. Handyman, I guess. I guess he's handy. And I've watched many hours. And so some of these things I've really done well. And other things, well, I've had to have some help along the way. I have some people that have helped correct the errors. I had Chris Tibbs over last night trying to help out with some decisions that I made. Didn't work out so well. So. It's good if you can see things firsthand, right? People can tell you all kinds of things, but you really want to see things to help you. And that's similar to what's going to happen in this passage this evening, is Paul has been telling Timothy right along things that he should be observing. So Paul is helping train Timothy, and he's leading the church of Ephesus, and they have false teachers. Not everyone sees them as false, right? So there's some discord, and it creates stress and trials. And none of us like trials, right? Most of us, at the first sign of hardship, like, we're out. Like, this isn't what I'm into. Because there's nothing in it for us, right? This is where Christ's love has to show in through us, where we keep going, even in hard times, because those people are precious and they matter, and they need our help. And so, in this passage, you know, Paul's going to deal with some meat and potato issues that he's been talking about over and over again. Core principles of Paul, things like staying loyal, being willing to suffer, being patient with people, and focusing on what is the true gospel, what is true doctrine, and how do we believe and how do we live. And so I'm sure at this time Timothy's not having a lot of fun. And Paul has been telling him all kinds of things, and so now Paul wants to show him, just like I had to watch YouTube and learn how to change out a faucet head. The same way, Paul has to help Timothy. So he's going to give him some examples of these teachers. Okay, what's the right way to live? What's living the gospel, living the truth? and what's the false teacher direction. So he's going to show us some of these things. Before I get any further, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this book that guides and directs us. Help us always to be loyal to it. I pray that it would speak to our lives. I pray that it would cut through so many outward things that we carry with us, so many distractions. Perhaps our pride puts up walls and we can be blind. But help us to truly see what you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read 2 Timothy 3, 9 through 13. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. He's making a comparison between Moses' day and the people that are in the church. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecution I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul's explained the importance of standing for right doctrine, and he's urged Timothy to be loyal to the gospel and endure hardship. And so as he works, there's people in church that can be reached, but there's others that can't be reached, and they've stood up against the truth. And so Timothy has to have the difficult conversations, and he's got to call people out. And so Paul's told Timothy to stand firm under the onslaught of hardship, but he knows it'll be difficult. And for this reason, he's going to give two real-world examples to learn from. So we have two examples we can learn from. The first one's found in verse 8. It's our first example. And our first one is, he tells Timothy, beware of false teachers. Beware of false teachers. And what are the false teachers like? Well, he's going to explain. These are the false teachers. This is what you can look for. So they reject the true God. Verse number 8. They reject the true God. Now he mentions Jannes and Jambres, how they withstood Moses. But who are these two people? Have any of you ever heard of them before? These are not people we know very well. Now they're not really mentioned in Scripture. Other histories mention them. There's all kinds of legends attached to them. How much do I believe? I don't know. I think safe to say that they were probably part of Pharaoh's court, and some believe they were magicians that opposed Moses when he threw down his staff and it became serpents, that they were, it was their staffs too. Possibly true. But here Moses was representing the one true God, and here they were seeing the power of the one true God, rejecting it, being in opposition to what the truth is. And so that is what they are. And so Paul tells Timothy, these teachers that you have in your church, they really are the same. They have the same mindset as Jannes and Jambres did. So, you know, for those who reject God's word, you know, some will listen and they don't know what to think. Maybe they're simple. But there's a core of people out there that very well know God's word and live in opposition to it, and they fight it, which is truly sad. When you meet atheists that can quote Scripture to you backwards and forwards, you think, wow, you are living in true darkness, and there's judgment coming for this. So what a sad thing to do. It reminds me of Romans 1:18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We think of hold it as in to hold on to it, but that's not what the translators were thinking of in this translation. They meant hold as in they hold it down. They suppress truth. There's a lot of people that really don't want to hear from outside their little bubble or their echo chamber. They want to hear from people that agree with them, but you take a biblical position and it's like, whoa, you can't even say that in public because that's so in opposition to everything that they stand for. And so here these false teachers are in the church. At the end of the day, it's not that they can't know the truth, it's that they really don't want to know. What a sad place to be. It says that their minds have been corrupted. They've lost their true sense and orientation of what right and wrong is. Their worldview is just so out of balance that they see good as evil and evil as good. They're just mixed up in their beliefs as they've erred from God's word. They're reprobate in the faith. They're unprincipled. They don't stand on the true bounds of God's word. We have God's unchanging word. Okay, it is very clear. It's very plain. What a blessing that is to have. We don't need to change our positions every 5 minutes, right? We have what God's word teaches, but these have rejected it. What a sad place to be, rejecting God's word, not accepting it, and standing against God's progress or God's work in the world. The next sign, they will be exposed for what they are. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So here, imagine Timothy is in this church. There's conflict, which is not a fun situation to be in. There's people that believe the truth. There's people that are opposed to the truth. And I don't know, maybe some of these people are charismatic. Maybe they want to teach their own class, and they have all these ideas. And maybe some people think, well, you know, this person helped my grandma once. He must be a nice guy. And, you know, they take in everything that they teach. Now, could you imagine Timothy thinking, you know, this person's wrong. This is what God's word clearly teaches. Imagine the frustration he must feel. And could you imagine, if you're him, you want people to know that this is wrong, but there's only so much that you can say and only so much that you can do. I don't know if you've ever witnessed to someone and they're just so set, and it's like, there's nothing I can say that will pierce this shell, this armor on the outside. And so here is Timothy. Imagine how he feels in the church, okay? And he's frustrated. Man, you know, they think this guy is just as good as I am. And maybe these people think you need to get over it. You need to go out for lunch or something and work through this, build a bridge, walk across it, meet halfway. The truth is in the middle. You meet the people that say that the truth is in the middle. In the middle of what? That's what I always want to know. But they want him to work it out. These are reassuring words from Paul, aren't they? Yeah, they teach the wrong thing. Yeah, people may believe them, but you know what? The Lord will expose them for what they really are. And the day will come when it'll be shown that what they're saying is not working. So if I'm Timothy, I'm like, oh, thank you, Paul. Thank you. Thank you for encouraging me in this way. Their folly will be manifest unto all men. They will be shown for what they are. Just like Jannes and Jambres. Remember how with Moses, they lost. Eventually, everyone saw Pharaoh's army was destroyed in the Red Sea. This is going to happen again, maybe in a different way, maybe in a different time. But people that truly want to know the truth and look to these people will see that this isn't right. Okay, God will show them for who they really are, what they truly stand for. And the Lord has to do that, right? We can't do that. We can spend all our time, we can get all worked up trying to correct everyone, but the Lord has to. Sometimes there's only so much that we can do, humanly speaking. At some point, you leave it to the Lord. I have to sleep at night. I can't stay up all night worrying about it. Whatever else said and did, that's dumb, right? That's their problem. That's not my problem. The Lord has to fix that. All right. So let's see them for what they are, not be fooled. They're counterfeits. The Lord has to reveal what they are and show the error of their ways. So we've seen the first teacher, the ungodly teacher. And then second, we need to learn from righteous teachers. We need to learn from righteous teachers. And what are righteous teachers like? Well, it starts in verse 10. They maintain their godly character, maintaining godly character. But thou hast also known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. He says, you know me. You know who I am, Timothy. It's not a mystery who I am. The term here, fully known, it's a term used of a disciple that follows his master. He knows his master. He sees what his master does, what his master thinks, that he's learning from. He's a disciple. And the word literally means to see up close. You ever see something and you're just so interested in it, you get engrossed, you get up close, and you got to check it out. It's like if someone does like a sleight of hand trick or something, and little kids have to see everything. You got to be like, back up, back up. That's what this is. That's what this word is, okay? So Paul's going to tell Timothy, you want an example to follow? He says, you've seen my ministry. You know what I'm about. I haven't hidden anything from you. I've been who I am. There's total transparency in what I'm doing and what I've been saying. He says, look at my doctrine. And the word doctrine simply means teaching. He says, you know what I believe. You know what I've taught. From day one, he taught salvation by faith through grace, not a work of ourselves. It's a gift of God. God offers all eternal life that they can accept or reject. And heaven or hell await. Hell is a real place. It's not something you just tell people to scare them and to make them listen. There is a real God, and there are real eternal consequences. So Paul says to Timothy, you know what I believe. You know what I have teach. You know my manner of life. The idea here is his conduct. You know how I've acted. You've seen me. You've been with me day after day. There's no surprises. There's no mystery as far as who I am. You know my purpose. You know what would have driven Paul. What's his motivation? You know, when he says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know what his heartbeat is and his motivation to follow Christ. He says, you know my faith. Paul had a strong belief in God's word and following it, obeying it. He knows also his long-suffering. And long-suffering means suffering long. It a lot of times has to do with people, though. That's how it's often used as opposed to patience. But the idea is, you ever have someone that just agitates you over and over and over again? And it's like you're trying to help them, but in the process of helping them, they're prickly. And it's like, oh, it's like rubbing up against a cactus. You're like, oh, here they come. This is going to be work for me, right? Or as I tell the junior hires, any of you have little brothers or sisters? Yes. Do they ever need your help? Yes. How often? Like every 5 minutes, I'm like, that's long-suffering right there. I can tie your shoe again, yes. Okay, it's over and over. And this is how Paul acted, okay? This was his life, and he invites Timothy to follow his example. I was patient with people. That's who I am. Charity, this is Paul. He shows love through giving and through his actions. His motives are selfless. He's not trying to gain something. He's not trying to gain a following. He's not trying to gain a better position or to be more highly respected by anyone. He truly ministers because he cares about people and where they are spiritually. How can I help these people spiritually? How can I bring them to the one that can help them, Jesus Christ? And then his patience. Patience is when we endure hardship and we don't give God deadlines to remove it. You ever hear people say that? You know, pray that the Lord makes this stop. Well, I'm not praying the Lord does anything. We don't tell the Lord what to do. It doesn't work that way. But we have to be patient, right? We can't give God deadlines for things. And so this has been Paul. He's been patient. He's been through highs and lows, but he continued on faithfully. And if we're going to oppose false teachers or people that teach contrary to God's word, and we're going to have an impact that lasts, we're going to have to focus on our own Christian lives. It's easy to get so caught up in the battle that we forget the things that truly matter. And I think even about the pastor's qualification, what kind of a leader is he at his own house? And, you know, that's sometimes the hardest thing to do is be a leader at your own house. You're not tricking anyone at your house, I'll tell you. You can have ministries where people think you're amazing and wonderful, but your family knows, don't they? There's nowhere to hide, right? That is the glass bowl that you live in. And so it's important we have reality in our own lives. I think also, you know, there's some people and their ministries is exposing false teachers and calling people out and researching who's evil and putting out warnings to the world. And that's some people, that's their fascination is they're trying to fix everyone and make everyone what they should be. And I think about years ago, I heard Wayne Van Gelderen Sr. preach a message. And he said this about pastors. He says, some shepherds are great wolf slayers, but they have skinny sheep. And the idea is I can spend all my time trying to fix everyone else and neglect my own ministry and my own self. And so Paul, as he's fighting the battle, his focus isn't those false teachers. Although he's trying to stand for what's right and he's opposing things that are wrong and correcting things, but his goal is I live the Christian life in my own personal life in a way that you can watch day and night and will be the right example. Okay, so as we fight evil, it's easy to get caught up in keeping track of who does what and trying to fix everyone else. But we need to take time to care for our own souls and be real in our own lives.
All right. The next sign of a true teacher is they need to be faithful under pressure. Being faithful under pressure. We see the next sign in verse 11. He says this about his own experience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. He was faithful. You know, we want problems to come and go instantly, right? We live in a microwave culture. I think the picture of this, you think about the person that's on the airplane and they get slow Wi-Fi download and they're just so angry. You know, they're flying 400 miles an hour across the United States. You know, that would have been, in the old days, that would be months in a covered wagon and half of them would have died of gangrene or something. But because they didn't get priority boarding, they're just like so upset. And then slow Wi-Fi in the air. I can't download infinite amounts of information that I choose to at any second. Oh, I'm so upset. But that's our culture, right? We're just in such a hurry. And especially young people are in a hurry. And I always ask them, where's the fire? Like, slow down here. But we're in such, we got to go here, we got to go there. But if we're going to deal with false teachers, this could take time. This is a mess, right? Timothy has a mess he's dealing with.
So he's got to be patient.
And it's not like patient like sitting on a hammock and drinking from a coconut patient. This is patience as in incoming fire and
dealing with the pressures that he's going to have to face. So
do any of us like pressure? If you like trials, then you've obviously never had one, because that's not how that works. So here he is. He's taking this oncoming fire. And so Paul's going to write, you know what? You're going to have to be patient. He talks about Antioch. Interestingly enough,
this would have been before Paul even met Timothy. He would have. So he's telling Timothy, oh, this goes back. And to be where I'm at today, I've had to endure hardship from way back. This isn't just a five-minute process, okay?
And then Lystra, this is a place where Paul was stoned.
And so he's not just talking about theoretical hardship or maybe getting a nasty email from a member. No, this is
real life, real world problems. And this is hardship.
And if you're going to minister, if you're going to stand for biblical truth, you're going to get your hands dirty, right? This is what Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. There's hardship in the Christian walk. We can't hide from it if God's going to use us. If you want to hide from hardship, then God's not going to use you. Because that's not how he works.
That's not how this, and you'll never have the blessing either. That's not how God works either. But notice how the testimony of Paul, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Even in the darkest of times, we have God's promise from his word that he will help us. God delivers his saints. Some from death, others through death. But we have God's hand of love and care over us. God always watches over his saints. And he will always lead us. We'll have his best for our lives. We need to be faithful. If we're going to make a difference spiritually, if we're going to stand for truth, this isn't a quick process. This can take time so that God can work. All right. We get to our third sign here of a biblical teacher. And that is, they're not surprised by the attack of the enemy. They are not surprised by the attack of the enemy. Notice verses 12 and 13. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That is a promise. If you want to follow Christ, you will suffer. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse.
Oh, their lives get worse. That's terrible, right? Deceiving and being deceived. They're both misleading and being misled. Notice how those things go together. The liars are often the ones that are the first to be fooled, right?
So if you're going to stand for Christ, you will face persecution. It's God's gift.
You know, Peter says, think it not strange when fiery trials come. If I could do the Potter paraphrase, he's like, why are you surprised? What did you think you were signing up for? You know? Is this some kind of a picnic or something? Is that what you thought the Christian life was? Of course not, right? We shouldn't be shocked and stunned
with all the difficulty that happens in the life of a believer. And as believers, we have Christ with us to help us.
And even in hardship, we can sense his nearness and his closeness to us, guiding us and walking with us. In the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And when I'm close to something that's really scary, God can hold my hand and help me. And those of you who have walked with the Lord, and I'm still a young buck here, I think, age 40, but there's many saints in this church that have walked with the Lord for much longer than I have and been through much more difficult trials than I've ever faced. And they'll tell you, and I'll tell you from my limited experience, how the Lord can be there in a special way and give you a peace that passes understanding, even in times that you think you can never go through. But here he talks about the marks of the end times, the people being deceived. And we can be thankful we have the light of the gospel that makes our life clear. And but I'm thankful I'm not one of these false teachers, right? Things are going to wax worse and worse. Their sin becomes heavier. And their lives will spiral, right? And it's like Proverbs talks about the wicked don't even know why they're falling. It's like if you can imagine someone walking at night through a house and they're barefoot and there's those Legos on the floor and they can't see and you step on them and you're like, oh, I didn't even see that coming. But boy, is that smart, right? Those things are razor sharp, I'm sure. And that's these false teachers, right? And as time goes on, they're more and more deceived and they pass on false information. They've rejected God, and so God's given them over to be deceived. And what a sad place to be. But these people will oppose us. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't have a pity party. Oh, I didn't see that coming, and I'm taken off guard. No, plan on it. That will happen. And so, in conclusion, so Paul has given the pattern of false teachers. They've rejected God, and they will be exposed for who they are. On the other hand, he gives us examples that we can follow of the right kind of teacher that follows God's word. And we talked about in their personal lives, they maintain godly character. And they're faithful under pressure, under stress and difficulty. They're not backing down. And they're not surprised by the attack of the enemy. They're discerning and seeing what comes. When you have people that oppose God and his word, it's not time to change your mind. And, you know, God can use you to stand for truth. And we can be gracious, we can be loving, we don't have to be nasty and spiteful. We can be gracious and loving, but God can help us to stand for what's true. And you know, that's something that God has to do in us. He has to do that work. And so I hope that that's what you're committed to, following God, whatever, and God can use you. I hope you've taken the first steps of faith, receiving Christ as your own personal Savior, and the Lord can use you. And I hope that our church stands for the truth and continues to stand for the truth, and we don't ever back down for what's wrong, but in our own lives, we're committed to what God's word says to us. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be committed to it and loyal. I pray that we would help those in need. And Lord, I pray that we would never back down just because we're afraid of man and what man might think of us. Help us remember the eternal glory that awaits us in heaven. And you're well done. And Lord, I pray you strengthen those members at this time who may be faltering, who maybe they want to quit or they're discouraged. I just pray, Lord, today you give them a special encouragement to help them to continue on, and your word would be that help they need. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you very much.